Blessed be the wonderful name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. We praise you, Heavenly Father. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this hour of time that we can come together.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, in fellowship, in worship, and in the hearing of thy word. We know, Lord, this morning as we come over there in your holy land, there is much trouble. Lord, we know that the storm is brewing, O Father. We know, Father, yet you're still holding back those four winds, that it will not blow, O Father, until your time is come for it to be done. But Lord, that's why we are here, why we have this little short period of time, Father. May we be watchful, prayerful, and full of supplication, Lord, unto you, and in our walk with you, as you see this last few grains of your prophetic time coming to a close, Lord, and when you will turn yourself, Father, taking the gospel away from the Gentiles and going back to your people, Israel. As we see, Lord, this time fast approaching to the coming of our Lord and Savior for his bride, Lord, may we, as the people of God, be worthy of the gospel. The gospel that thou hast given us, the gospel of eternal life, that we be found faithful, Lord, to walk in it. The Lord, that our testimony be the testimony of the living Christ in our life. Keep us, Lord, in the way that we should go, and help us all to be sincere, Lord, and filled with the Spirit of the Lord. In all honesty and integrity, O Lord, of our heart, that we live that life of Jesus Christ. We commit this day to you, Father, for the hearing of the word now, asking for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now let's go and recap as quickly as possible, so before we catch up to the woman, Israel. Now in the book of Revelation chapter 11, in our study last Sunday, regarding the two witnesses. Alright? And you know that the two witnesses, they are giving out their prophecy. And now, as I said, that the book of Revelation, they are all not in sequence telling you in a sequential way. Now, the Bible here says that they prophesied for 3.5 years. And there are two men in the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses. Now, here, if you notice that we have the three trumpets here. The three trumpets, there are two right in the middle of the 70th week, and one that we will say right then, a little into the second half of the 70th week of Daniel, and finally the last one, that when it is blowing from God's wrath. Now, the first three trumpets actually deals with their message. But we are not going to touch on this, because we want to hold everything on the trumpets later on. But we want to be, just to study this portion today, and also a little bit on this. Because to deal with the subject of the tribute, of the 70th week of Daniel, it covers lots of things in details. Alright? We have the two witnesses, we have the message, and the sitting of 144,000, and what happened after they were killed, and then how the Great Tribulation comes in, which is known as Jacob's Trouble. So now, the message of the two prophets, they were sent to seal the 144,000. Alright? And that's what we see in chapter 11. Now, once they finish their message, once they have completely brought out all the message that God wants them to give to the children of Israel and to the rest of the world, after 3.5 years, they will be killed. And who will kill them? It will be none other than the Antichrist, and which we know to be the Pope. And as I said, in history, from the history all the way up it is identified as a pope now. Those who disagree that it is the papacy, they really have missed it. And those who do not believe it is the papacy are usually majority are from the World Council of Churches. Because being that they are part of the system, they cannot say it's the Pope. They have to say it is somebody else, some dictator. Right? So this is how they, how the spirit of Satan motivates, you know, ungodly men or theologian to come up with something that draws people away from the identity of the Antichrist. Go to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We read here what the Antichrist, when he comes, he will, as in the book of Daniel chapter 9, 27, say he will make a covenant with many for 1 week, for 7 years. And then in the middle of the week, he will cause the oblation to cease. He will not allow Israel to do any more sacrifice. Okay? So now, we know that the Pope of Rome will come and make the covenant with the political and religious people of Israel, as well as other political politicians and religious people outside of Israel, to set a peace in the Middle East. Now, why set a peace in the Middle East? We look at today in the news, in the Middle East regarding Israel being attacked, you know, by the Hamas in Gaza Strip, you know. And then Israel retaliated. Of course, this is all that battles here and there that has been going on for centuries. Israel, the land, the peace of Holy Land, has always been a piece of land of battles being fought countless times in history. You know, and so Jerusalem as a city of peace never really was or is a city of peace. It's actually a city of war. Everybody wants to fight for that piece of land there, the capital city, and we have religion like the Jewish faith, we have the Muslim faith, we have the Catholic faith, and they all wanted to have a piece of that city. So there will be no peace until a major war will break out. And we know that the major war that will break out will be Ezekiel 38-39. That will take place before the covenant starts. Alright, it will happen just before the 17th week of Daniel starts. And then of course during the time when the Ezekiel 38-39 battle starts, the church would have been gone. The true believer would have been gone. The bride of Christ would have been gone. Leaving behind the foolish virgin, leaving behind the denomination Christian who are never ever prepared for the coming of the Lord. That's why we have this message to prepare us. And that's the reason why we are privileged people. To be able to understand what the Bible said and to be able to be aware of the signs of the time, what God is doing, and walk in the way that God wants us to walk, the plan and the purpose. We just do not say, oh, we are Christian, that's all. We are Christian, believe in Jesus Christ, so we are going up into heaven when Jesus comes. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the church. Of the churches out there, they will tell you all this. Because we know that not all Christian is going to go up. You understand that? Huh? And so, as the Bible said in the book of Genesis concerning Enoch, the Bible said, Enoch walked with God. And he was not, he was taken. Right? So, what's so special about Enoch compared to all his uncle, brothers and all? Do they not walk with God? Sure, they all believe in Yahweh too, don't they? But why did God take him? So, there are Christians today all over the world. They all say, oh, I'm a Christian. I walk with God. I walk with Christ. I believe in. But unless you walk the way that Enoch walked with God, you're going to miss it. You see. As when the Bible tells us very clearly, watch and pray, be watchful and full of supplication. As especially in these last days of when we are living in a time of great wickedness and evil. Right? Nations are all distressed, people are all in a state of confusion. Look at the news out there in Britain. How many billions of dollars disappear? You know, and people suffer for it. That's bad. You see. So things are gonna, the economy will collapse very soon, and so the political system. And then the world will enter into a big time of war. And when that war started, you know, that's when people cry for peace. Peace, peace! And the only one that can bring about peace is the Pope. It won't be a politician. As a Pope, a religious man who is also involved in politics. Do you understand that? Alright. So now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. Now Paul called this man the man of sin. This Antichrist, the man of sin. And he's also called the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, or that he has God seen in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Already that this verse which Paul wrote to the Thessalonian saints, this was fulfilled in the days of the Dark Ages. Right? When the church in Rome became so organized, they make not just bishops, but they make an archbishop over the bishops. They grab something that is not in the Bible. The Bible says they are all, those are bishops, they are bishops, overseers. But they came up with an archbishop, somebody that controls the rest. And so by and by, archbishop, you have cardinal, from cardinal, monsignor, monsignor become, hey, I'm the father of all. And he is called Papa. And Papa, you have papacy come from, and that's the Pope. You see. And he sits in that Vatican City, in that Vatican chair, and he's literally worshipped. Everybody that wants to have audience with him must bow before him and kiss his ring. You know. Do you understand what I'm saying? They look to him as the man who have the solution. And according to the prophecy of Malachi Martin, oh, there is one more to come. Not this one. But the prophecy, I believe, is going to be very true. That there will only be a last pope to come. One more pope to come. And his name will be called Pedro. Pedro. Peter. Pierre. Petrus. Right? You understand now? And Chinese called Peter. So whatever that man will be, whatever race he will be, he will fulfill that role. You understand? Now when you watch what's going on in the Middle East today, now we have the problem in Syria. Okay? And everything started several months ago and escalating and something seemed to be quite okay. But now Hamas attack Israel, and it seems at the same time, well, politicians are supporting the rebels there, and now they are recognizing the rebel in Syria to be the rightful government now. What's going on? And so, all these politicians, when they sit at a round table, this round table, well, we won't say round table, it was a round, you know, a musical chair sort of thing around in the UN. They talk about peace, peace, down there trying to find a solution. I think United Nations is a, well, it's a farce, we call that, right? In other words, they never do what they are supposed to do. You know? So, the United Nations is just a laughing stock. You know? They will say what they want to say, but behind each other's back, they will step each other. So that's the condition of the world. Because we all know that there will be no more peace until the one who is called, whom with the Bible will say, blessed his name, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. There will be no peace until Hashem, until Yahshua HaMashiach, when he comes, then there will be peace. You know. So we are looking just ahead of our time. And when they start crying for peace after the war, sure, there will be one man that comes in and settles it. And this will be the man. He will be the one. And let's go to the next verse in John 5, 43. This will be the man whom the Jew will really welcome and say, okay, we accept him. What did Jesus say in John 5, 43? I have come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Now, how true that is. The Christ to Israel, Israel did not receive. Huh? So that must be one that is anti or empty to this Christ. And that one, Israel will receive. And this is prophecy coming to pass. You understand that? Let's go to Romans, Revelation chapter 2, verse 21 now. Where it says in chapter 2, verse 20, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou suffered that woman Jezebel, which calls our prophetess. Now who is this Jezebel? Of course, in the Old Testament we have Jezebel, the queen of Ahab, the queen of Israel, the wife of Ahab. How evil a woman she was. And yet in the book of Revelation, you identify this Antichrist spirit, this system, as Jezebel. Jezebel was a wicked woman. What about this system out there? Identified and known as Mystery Babylon. Mother of Harlot. She's just as wicked. We can read that in the book of Revelation. Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 17. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of name of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. Alright? So we have that beastly system that comes out from, well, Europe. But we are not going to touch that today on chapter 17, but just to let you know that there is a woman that sits on this beast system. And this beast is none other than what you are looking at now in the European common market. All those nations out there in Europe, and they have their common currency called the euro. And there will be a woman that sits on it, on that system. And that woman is Vatican City. And she had in her hand a golden cup full of blasphemy. She make all the nations of the world to drink, to fornicate with her. And so the woman represents heresy. And we know that this is, in the system, we know Roman Catholicism has been always in history. We see how 68 million people were destroyed and killed by the system, Roman Catholicism. So since we understand what's going to happen, we realize the Pope therefore he must come and make a covenant for 1 week as according to Daniel chapter 9 verse 27. And he will be the one that break the covenant in the middle of the 17th week of Daniel. Now let's go and look at the chart. Why would the Pope kill the two witnesses? In chapter 11, in verse 7, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that exited out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. But why? Why is it so that this beastly system, beastly spirit? Now remember one thing, when the Bible talks like this, you need to understand that this whole world belongs to Satan. And in any system in the world, whether it be an economic system, whether it's a company, whether it's and what we call economic system, like what we have, Lloyd, for example. What is that? The name of that bank that cheated a lot of people in Singapore and then collapsed. What's the name?
Lehman
Brothers. It's a system, a financial system. You want to call it a bank, you want to call it a corporation, you want to call it whatever, it doesn't matter. As long as they're organized, it's a system. You know what a system is? A computer is a system. Because it's organized with all the wires and hard keys and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And you know, as long as there's a system, there's a spirit controlling it. Do you understand that? And this is this evil system that we see in papacy. The Bible here said that this business system, the business, came up on the bottomless pit. Why is it called bottomless pit? It's because why? It has no foundation. Catholicism has no foundation. It's bottomless. It destroyed the life of people. Give people a false hope that they can go to heaven by saying Hail Mary full of grace 5 times a day, whatever. By believing in the Pope, by believing in that system. You don't believe in that system, you don't have eternal life, you're going to purgatory, you're going to get burned and all that stuff. What is that in the Bible? But that system has blinded the eyes of people, have deceived millions of people on this earth. You know? But what does the, as the Bible said, why is it that this papacy gets so upset about these two witnesses? The reason is because they prophesied against it. They preach against it. You know. And day and night. But you know, if somebody were to broadcast throughout the whole world every day and night against Catholicism, not only the Pope would not rest, could not rest. It is also the people who are Catholic. They could not, they cannot get any rest too. And it's the same thing in the world today that you see fanaticism, terrorism, terrorists. You preach against what they believe, there's no rest for them. They want to kill you. And that's so true. And now sometimes when you see reports on the news, now don't believe anything that you see on the news. Eh? Because there are certain news reports, news broadcasts, they are one-sided. And you can always see as far as Israel is involved. When there is a war and battle between Israel and any other neighboring country, Israel is the one that is always wrong. The way that they give out their news, they always put it in such a way that Israel is the one. It's a bad guy. You know. Well, God knows about that, and God is chastening Israel because of their rejection of the Messiah. So you need to understand, as long as you're God's people, God's children, He will chastise you. He will deal with you. Painful. But that's the way God do. And so, when the Pope get upset, everybody get upset, so he'll have to kill. And after 3.5 years, in the middle of it, of course the Bible says your Pope will set out this beast system, will kill those two witnesses and put them in the street for 3.5 days. And the whole world could see it, the body lying there for 3.5 days. And I believe that most homes will probably leave their television on. And there will probably be a camera that focuses on the dead body. Huh? You understand, don't you? And you live there for 3.5 days and the camera will be focusing on that. Nobody have respect for the body of the two prophets. They just leave them to Lord. And the world just watching. And you know what happened after the 3.5 days? That's when we see a miracle took place. And here we find it in verses 11 and 12. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven say unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Now this is a special resurrection. In that, it is in full view of everyone in the world. You understand? Come on, Peter! And the body began to move, and the cameraman and all those in the broadcasting office. Oh boy, what is happening? Everybody be shouting this and that. And I don't know, I think God will have a slow motion for them. Yeah. Those two will get up, you know, slowly. The camera is focusing, and then somebody in the home saw it and start yelling at everybody, and the neighbor will be hearing, and everybody say, come, come, look, look, look. They're alive, they're alive. And then they start rising up into the heaven. And the camera had to pan on one hand going up to the heaven and disappear into the cloud. This will be a resurrection that will be public. All the other resurrections you see are not public. And as far as the transformation of the body is concerned, the rapture would be a secret. Right? Just as the ascension of Jesus Christ was not public, only to the 11 disciples. And the bride will go also in secret. It will not be in public. It will not be a public show. But this is a public show. Right. So when this thing, you know, when this thing happened, it says over in verse 13, and the same hour is at that moment when they were resurrecting, there was a great earthquake. And we know that's so interesting that always an earthquake, when it happened, there was always a resurrection. Now in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 2 to 8, it says this. Chapter 7, verse 2, we see here that the two prophets come to seal the 144,000. Okay? But look at what he says here in verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom was given to hurt the earth and the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. Now, this angel that came out from the east with the gospel is the message that the two witnesses were given to preach to seal the 144,000, 12,000 of each tribe of Israel. Right? They were to seal. Once they have, once the sealing is finished, then the four winds will be let loose. Do you understand? So just look at the chart now. You have the two witnesses preaching to seal the 144,000. After they have finished preaching, 3.5 years later, they will be killed. So the moment that they are killed, now, the four forces of the wind will be let loose. What is being let loose is prepared at the blowing of the sixth trumpet for that to happen. Armageddon. Do you understand? Okay? So when the wind are let loose, that's when the Antichrist sits on the throne. And he goes on a rampage against the children of or Jacob's descendant, Israel's, that Jacob is Israel, right? His people. It is known as the time of Jacob's trouble. So the wind of course is let loose, slowly builds up until this sixth trumpet is blown to where it happens very fast. Because during this period of the Great Tribulation, 3.5 years, people will be running around to hide themselves. There will be those that wanted to die. There will be scarcity of food for you to buy unless you take the mark of the beast. But more about later. Let's continue with what we are on. In chapter 14 now, verse 1. Chapter 14, verse 1. And it says here, and I look and lo, a lamb stood among Zion, And with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their forehead. Now in chapter 7, we see that 12,000 were sealed of each tribe. So 144,000. And here he tells us this. And I want to tell you something. I want you to look carefully. It says here, I looked and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his name, the Father's name written in their forehead. Now, just read the first verse alone. Don't look elsewhere. Just read the first verse alone. And don't read second verse or third verse or whatever. Just read that. Now, when you read that, what comes up in your mind? And John said, I saw a lamb stood on Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion? What is Mount Zion? What is Mount Zion? Jerusalem. And the lamb stood on Mount Zion with the 144,000. Now that's a vision of John. He saw a lamb. Got it? He didn't see Jesus. He saw a lamb. And with him 144,000. Now that is Mount Zion. Is it on earth or in heaven? Is this Mount Zion a spiritual heavenly Mount Zion or is it an earthly Mount Zion? Huh? Come to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24. I want to show you something here. A careful Bible student of the Word. Pay attention to the Word of God. Alright, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24. Paul here said, but you means you Christian, you believer, you saints, are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and saw unto an innumerable companies of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of judged men, made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better thing than that of Abel. So now when Paul wrote this here, he says here, you have come unto Mount Zion. But what is this Mount Zion that Paul talks about? It's not on earth. It's in heaven. Because he says it's heavenly Jerusalem. The holy city, New Jerusalem, that we read in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. You remember? You are the holy city, New Jerusalem, in the making. Do you know that? Yes? So there is a Jerusalem. There is a new Jerusalem. There is the Jerusalem out there in Israel, the old city, we will call that. But there is a new Jerusalem, which is new city, called the Holy City, New Jerusalem, that will come down from heaven. It's a heavenly one. So when Paul talks about these that are come to Mount Zion, he's referring to this Mount Zion, that is heavenly. But the one that you read over in verse 1 of chapter 14 of Revelation, it says here, a lamb stood on Mount Zion with 144,000. This is the earthly Mount Zion. It's very clear. How do I know? How would you know? You read the second verse now. What did the second verse say? And I heard a voice from heaven. So he saw it on the earth. But he heard the voice come from heaven. Do you understand that? It's just the same thing as Revelation chapter 10. When the mighty angel came down, John said, I heard the seven thunder. That seven thunder must be on earth. Do you understand that? So when we look at this temple, that now, let me tell you this. The 144,000, 12,000 of each tribe, of Israel. Making 12 times 12 is 144, right? 144,000. The 144,000 there are men, they are male. God never used women to go and preach out. Actually, the denomination will tell you, ordained woman preacher and all that stuff. All servants of God out there are all men. Unless all men have no backbone because they can't stand, so God has to use the woman. Right? Like Deborah is an example. See? So you men must have backbone or else you're in trouble. So now we see that when the Bible said a lamb saw a Mount Zion, and that's earthly. And the lamb is with these 144. The lamb represents who? Christ. Right. And the 144,000, they were sealed with the name of God in their forehead. Like enough. Yes. The name of God is Yahweh Yahshua, as you all know. That's the name, Yah. They know that. So now they are following the lamb wherever the lamb goes. You get it? And the lamb is on Mount Zion on earth, not in the heaven. There are two different types. There are two different guys. That's why you see here, brother, when you look at this, you realize that this 144,000 comprises of a people that will follow the Lamb of God in the millennium, and they will not die. They will not die out there in the Great Tribulation. They will not be killed. They will never be killed. Remember the Great Tribulation period? When the Antichrist blew his top and blew fire out and go after the woman Israel, they will try to kill everybody who holds to, well, the faith that denies the Antichrist being the one. That they refuse to bow down to the Pope, they refuse to take the name of that beast. And so because the Antichrist was angry with what was preached against him and against the system, and they are all Jews. The true problem were Jews. The 144,000 were Jews. So now his anger come out to go after them. And anybody who identify with the Jews, you're finished. That's why we have a problem out there in the Middle East. And I guess perhaps in any religious war that opposes Israel. Right? You have to bless Israel. Cursed are those who curse Israel. I have seen people really curse you just real bad. And don't really realize what they're doing. The devil has blinded them. Satan has blinded people. They go to church, they go to temple, they go to mosque, they go to whatever, you know, and they believe in the religion and not understanding it. You see? And you can see on your YouTube. On the YouTube, you have so many on the YouTube. Muslim opposes Israel. Muslim opposes Christianity. And on the other side, the Christian opposes the Muslim. Some Christians also oppose Israel. What happened? Everybody's confused. We are living in a world that's confused, all right. One month they say you need the next month they tell you something else. Are you confused? Some people are, when you get up in the morning, who am I? Who am I? You know. And that's what the devil is doing. Get down to the mess of people's life. But for the reason when I read this, the only answer is, as many people ask me, Brother Gavin, would 144,000 be killed? Would they die? What would they do? And the problem said is that they will be like eunuch. And I believe that is so true because they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They won't be on this earth. On the earthly Mount Zion. So in the millennium, they will be there in the mortal body that they have. As eunuch, Because Christ is the king. And he has his bride. Right with him. Isn't that right? And in any kingdom there are always eunuchs. But Israel, no matter about the bride, I'm talking about the true spiritual sins. But Israel will also be there in the millennium, and there will be the natural wife of Yahuwah, of Yahweh. Is that right? Yes, sir. You know that, don't you? That's why God put Israel away and go after a Gentile wife. You see. So now, in the millennium, Jesus will sit on his throne in Jerusalem, and Israel will be the kingdom for Israel. And there will be natural people. Yes? And 144,000 will be watching over them. They will be there with them. They are the first fruit out among the whole nation of Israel. You understand? But the bride, we are resurrected and translated, we are the first fruit unto him. So one's the natural side, the other on the spiritual side. And he says in verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harper harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. They were redeemed from the earth. You understand? We are all redeemed by Christ and give eternal life and to be given a spiritual body. But the 144,000, they are not redeemed for their special purpose, having a spiritual body. But is it kind of unfair? Huh? Is it kind of unfair? Is it unfair? Well, you know, why should it be unfair? You know, that's the reason why when people talk about unfairness, God, it's not fair, Lord, it's not fair. And that's why they come up with a doctrine called universalism. Huh? Universal salvation. Universalism. The teaching is this. That whatever happened from the beginning, God planned it to the end, everyone that is born, everything that exists on the earth, that died, they must be restored back. And that's why Christ came to die for every human being, and to also restore human beings back to him, reconcile all things back to God. Reconcile all things back to God. All things. Hitler will also be resurrected and give eternal life. Hitler will be there. The Pol Pot leader, or whatever his name is, he will also be resurrected and give eternal life. Oh, no matter how wicked you are, will be resurrected back and reconciled back to God. The restoration of all things. That's how they picked the verse out of the Bible and believed that. And taught that. And that's one upon a time, that's why my good friend Peter Arm believed in it. He said, even all the animals will come out. I said, oh, wonderful. All the animals will come out, will come back. All the chicken that you eat must come back. Oh no, the whole earth will be filled with chickens and cockroaches and frogs and snakes. Do you think all those years from the day of Adam until 7,000 years later, do you think this herb will contain all that? You will be cockroaches around you walking around with the cockroaches. All things that are alive must be your console bag. I said, are you sure? I said, you think about it. You know, people think of us as reconciliation of all things. Restoration of all things. All things means all. That's to all. A-I-L-L means every second one. That's not the language. Even the language of the English doesn't even make that sense. Doesn't even give that sense. Huh? Isn't it? Only take, for example, the F1 formulas. The nighttime F1 formulas, right? When it was, it comes on every year, I think. And when it comes on every year, all Singaporeans went there, they see it. But if you use the word all, it's kind of exaggerated form, but it's not true in all. And Jesus was preaching in the city of Jerusalem, the Bible said, all came to hear him. Is it true? You know. That's one thing about language. Only in the law, well, all means all. Rabarakati. I believe that is what the law would say. But of course, unless a lawyer twisted. And you liars are liar liars. You know. They play with words. That sort of thing. But language is just an expression. So now, it says here, the only one that can sing this new song. Because that's the only song that they can sing. Nobody else can sing. Now, when you are a Christian, you sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? And then you sing about how I'm bound for the promised land, about only Christian can sing that song. Isn't that right? Yes or no? Yes. But we anti-message people, we have seen the message for the hour, we saw it, we come into it, we can sing a new song. We can sing a new song that denomination cannot sing, they don't know what it's all about. You know. You see, so it is peculiar to the people. Alright now, it says here in verse, chapter, the voice of many waters, in verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. That's the good thing. You see God's voice. Now, how many of you have heard God speak? How many of you have heard God's voice, literally, when God speaks in? Alright. Sometime in a movie, you know, you can hear it, how does somebody say, Adam, Adam, or something like that. Somebody's got a voice, that project like God. Adam, Adam, whether thou. Or maybe somebody, if they are, how we call this, woman liberation group, they probably project God's voice. Adam, I mean, like those feminine voice coming out, you know. Projecting God as a feminine. As feminine. So, you know, when God, the Bible is very interesting to say that when God speaks, He says the voice as a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters. And yet, He said, as the voice of great thunder. No, you know, that's a lot different. Voice of many waters. Now, many waters means to say, if you ever go to an area where you have a little waterfall and a stream coming down, you hear water falling and hear the water streaming moving over rocks. So there's a lot of voices in this water movement. Right? Isn't it? True. You see. Now yet at the same time, the Bible says as the voice of a great thunder. Oh, that's different. Voices of many water are very soothing. You know, if you ever sleep near a river, you know where the stream moving, you can hear the water flowing, huh? It's very soothing, huh? Right? And at the same time, when he says here, the voice of great thunder, so you just imagine the difference. So the voice of God is divinely sweet. How many of you love to hear this water flowing? It's nice, isn't it? You agree with that? Huh? But you heard the one that goes, especially like a tap. My irritating. You want to get up and, especially if your bedroom water is leaking, you go, you want to fall to sleep, you wake up, right? Yes or no?
Yes.
But when you have this rain, like rain coming down, you open the window, you sleep, the water falling is this different kind of tune to your ears. So God's way is divinely sweet, and yet, when it comes to thunder, divinely what? Terrible. The voice of God comes, it's terrible when you hear if He is judging. But it's the same voice, only two different groups will hear. It's just one voice coming out, we hear differently. The same thing when the word of God is preached, even when Jesus preached, one group will hear and understand, the other group thought that they understood, but they don't. You see? One group felt condemned, the other felt saved. That's true. That's not a Bible. The Word of God is double-edged. It's like a two-edged sword. It cuts and divides one side to salvation, cuts and divides the other side to damnation. See? So one voice. And I like that. Alright, so now, when this 144,000, as they say in verse 2 and 3, the other one they will conceive this new song. Why? Because they have received, as the Bible here said, they were redeemed from the earth, they have received the name of God in their forehead. Now, they already received the everlasting gospel, so to speak. And they are going to preach for the next 3.5 years. Because the true prophet is now dead. Alright? So now, the Bible said here, in verse 4 and 5, continue with it, these are they which were not defiled with woman, for they are virgin. These are they which for the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruit unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth were found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So when they said these are virgin, it doesn't mean that they are virgin men, they are not married. Because some of them are probably married men also. Okay, God is sitting in 144, for example, like we all of us here. Some of us are married, some of us are not. You understand? But these 144,000, they are all men. And some may be married men, some may be not, some may be farmers, some may be architects, some may be economic, some may be doctor, for all we know. But God is going to send these 144,000 so that they could go out there and nourish the woman Israel, as we will read later on in chapter 12. So these are spiritual virgin. You understand that? And do you know that today we are seeing that, how many of you heard about the Messianic Jews? You heard about Messianic Jews, those are the Jews that believe in the Messiah, but they are all, most of them, found in the Trinitarian Church. A lot of Jews are Christian in America, in Canada, in many parts of the world, but they belong to the Trinitarian Church. These are not the ones that Baba talks about. This one that I talk about, they are spiritual virgin. That means that they do not know any man-made doctrine. Do you hear that? They are not identified with the denomination. You see? So they know whom and what they worship. That's for sure. Right? There's the same thing. We should know who we worship and what we worship. I heard Jesus told the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. The woman told Jesus, "You are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we have nothing in common." You know? And she tried to, because she knows what she believed in the teaching of that she received. She said, "Do you see this well here?" He talked to Jesus. "Do you know what who built this well? It's Jacob that built this well. And this mountain here, we worship here. It's there. You worship over there in Jerusalem." And Jesus Christ told her as a woman, "The hour is come. The day to worship him, God, must you worship him in spirit and in truth." He said to her, "You worship, you know not what. You do not know what you are worshipping. We, Jew, salvation is of the Jew." And we should be grateful for that. That Jew can boast about it, that's right. Salvation is of the Jew. Not any race in the world. Salvation came to us through the Jew, by God's grace. Right? You see? But because God has blinded the Jew because of their foolishness, rebellious nature, okay, God said, "Okay, I'll blind you. And I'll take the gospel, the oracle that I've given you, I'll give it to somebody else." And he gave it to us. Whether you be Indian, Chinese, Filipino, white, black, brown, what color you ever are, God turned away from the Jew and chose us to bring us in. And after that is over, he will turn to the Jew. You see. So, let us rejoice to know that it is God's grace. Alright? So now, let's go to finish off this part of the, before we go to chapter 12. So now the 144,000, they are set apart as the first fruit. Okay? For the Lord in verse 4, they were redeemed from among them, being the first fruit unto God and to the Lamb. Out of Israel. Remember, this is out of Israel. Alright. Okay. Now, as I said earlier on, they will be as eunuch when Jesus Christ come to rule in the millennium. Now, in verse 6 and 7, in chapter 7, the same chapter, verse 6 and 7. And I saw another mighty angel, fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every kingdom and nation and tongue and people, say with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that make heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Now, this is the everlasting gospel that the two prophets preach. You notice what is being preached? Nothing about salvation. Look at it. Verse 6. Alright? Okay? Now, verse 6 says this. Verse 7, rather. He's saying with a loud voice, fear God. That's number one. Fear God. Number two, give glory to Him. Now, in the world today, a lot of people don't fear God at all. Huh? They don't fear God at all. This is the everlasting gospel that the two witnesses give to the 144,000. You see? Fear God and give glory to Him. A lot of people don't fear God. They don't give glory to God. And the next one is, worship Him. They make heaven and earth. That's the simple gospel called the everlasting gospel. And this will be preached through the mouthpiece of the 144,000 in the second half of the 70th week of Daniel. And this is not the gospel message that we receive. Because our gospel, the gospel message we receive is what? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Right? Repent! Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sin, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. But theirs is what? Fear God! Give glory to Him! Worship Him! So different. Because why? In the after all, that the Gentile world, and they, salvation is no more there for anybody else. There is no Holy Ghost going to be given to them. All to do is to do what there is to, what God is doing at that particular time is to make them aware that they need to fear Him, give glory to Him, and worship Him. After all, they're going to see a lot of things that they already seen. A lot of miracles and wonders and signs already taken place in the ministry of the two witnesses, like enough, huh? But the 144,000, they are not going to do any more miracles. They're going to demonstrate like the two witnesses demonstrate. The people of the world have seen it already. Do you understand? So their cry out there is to fear God. You know, after all, you know, the children of Israel, when they were out there, when they were out in Egypt, in Goshen. Right? Moses demonstrated all those miracles, right? All those signs. Well, the children of Israel, you fear God, fear Yahweh. But you went out in the wilderness. I mean, went on the way to journey to the promised land. And they mumble and mumble and mumble and mumble. What is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord for the man of God, Moses? What is the fear of God? What is the faith in God? That God will take them to the promised land. He said they mumble and murmur against God. Now, I can tell you this for sure. That in the 3.5 years of the two witnesses prophesying, with all the signs, rain moving, water turned to blood, right? And all the signs that will be performed, which we will see under the three trumpets. Having seen all that, and after they are killed by the Pope, what happened? Didn't the people fear God, you know? Oh. The people will go on their own way and do their own things. They will continue to sin. Yes? Now, how many of us here, let's look at ourselves. In the sincerity of one heart. We come to the truth. We believe we are Christians, we are born again. How many of you here believe you are born again? Amen. Put up your hand. Amen. If you don't put up your hand, it means you're not born again. What's so difficult to put up your hand? You're undecided, not sure. Now if you believe you are born again, do you fear God? The thing that you do, have you ever considered that what I'm doing, am I doing it contrary? Am I living, you know, contrary to the Lord? Am I doing things against God? The things that I do displeases God, you know? Do I give Him the glory? Do I really worship Him? Or because I come to church because, well, I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to come. No. Not because you are a Christian that you're supposed to come. Don't ever say that. If you say that, means you're not born again. I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to go to church, you know. Is that what it is? I go to church because I want to go to church, because I want to go and worship God. I go because I love Him, because I want to. I enjoy worship. Because he said, I have to go because I'm a Christian. I have to go because I am a Christian? No. It's nothing to do with that. Do you understand? Let me say, he said, I walk because I have a leg. Do you say, I walk because I'm leg? I have to walk because I'm leg. No, that's nothing to do with that. What is that? Let them know it doesn't have to do with the walking. I walk because I want to walk. Right? Now you'll be dragging the leg to church. Oh, my. I go because I want to worship. That's what King David said. I was glad when he said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. No, not this Sunday. Next Sunday, maybe. And some of you said that. Yes. Oh yes. You know, there's no love. There's no desire. You know, don't be cold, brother and sister. Always be hot. Right, John? Amen. You need to be hot. Listen. And the one to keep yourself hot is always rejoice in the Lord. The more that you rejoice, the more you will rejoice. The more you grumble, the more that you will grumble. It's natural. It's a disease. Whether it's a good one or a bad one. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say, I'm rejoice in the Lord. That's a good disease, you know. Because it can be infectious. But when you're lazy and you just make no efforts to do anything, it's very sad. Revelation chapter 12. The woman Israel here. Now we need to talk about this woman Israel because there's some of the week of Daniel involved this chapter. Okay? So now, this is a picture we all know. But let us read the verse. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now here it says, a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, okay, look. Here we have a woman. Clothed with the sun. and there is a moon under her feet. Okay? And she will have upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, first of all, I need to tell you this. God, He has two women in His life. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
God has two women in His life. Well, sometimes when a man married, after the man is married, he still has two women in his life. His wife and his mother still. Right? Sure, right? And when a woman is married, also, she has sometimes two men in his life. The daddy and the husband. Right? When the husband don't give her what she wants, go, daddy, please give me. She'll go to that one. But God has two women in His life, and that is, the first was Israel. Remember? And the second one is the Gentile. Right? Okay. Now this woman here in this chapter, it represents Israel and not the church. Now there are denominations that said that this represents, she represents the church. It isn't. Okay, when we look at it, we can understand that. How do we know that this represents Israel and not the church? First of all, if you go to the Old Testament about Joseph's dream, remember what Joseph dreamed? Right? The stars, the sun, the moon, and all that. He dreamed all this. And it's very typical. The church is never represented by the moon or the sun. Do you know that? The church is always represented as the bride, the body of Christ. For those who say that this, she represents the church, is because in the Bible they say, oh, because there are 12 stars, there are 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. That's not what it is. You need to look at the whole picture. She was, the Bible says she was clothed, in verse 1, clothed with the sun. She was clothed with the sun. Right? And upon her feet was what? The moon. What is the moon and what is the sun? Where did the moon get the light? The moon gets its light from the sun. So what is the moon representing? What was given to Israel? It was the law. Right? The oracles that were given to Israel through the prophets, the law, the ordinances, and everything that were prophesied by the prophets, they were considered the law. Got it? But before that was given, there was no moon. There was, they said, there is no law, no need, no ordinances, no sacrifices and oblation. There was nothing about this sort. Is that right?
Yes.
You see. So, the moon represents the law, but the sun they were clothed with represents the gospel of righteousness. Now, do you know that you, when you believe in Christ, you receive the gospel of righteousness? How are you righteous? Do you make yourself righteous? No. You were imputed righteousness by God. You were made righteous by Christ, by the work that He did for you. You're not righteous because you make yourself righteous. You can't. There's self-righteousness. In the eyes of God, it's filth. Right? The Bible said that your righteousness is as filthy rats. Any of you ever take a piece of filthy rat and wipe your face? The one that you, in the hawker center, you know where those, what do you call, cleaners. They come and take away all the dishes of food people left behind. Sometimes they dirty the table and share these pieces of cloth. They wipe the table, all the gravies and all the tissue paper, whatever that. Take that and wipe your face. So would you do that? That's how dirty that is. That's your righteousness, your self-righteousness. Right, you understand, huh? That's what as God says, it's filthy rag. But we are in pure righteousness by the grace of God. Through Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is about. And that's what our Son represents. The glory of the Christ, huh, will give you that righteousness.
So that's what this woman was clothed with. But she stood on the law that was given to her in the first place.
So, the moon is not above the sun. What is more important is the sun, not the moon.
The moon reflects the sunlight. The moon tells you that there is, that it received the light from the sun. Without the sun, the moon has no light.
Right? So, in the sense that we all are the same, unless we have the Son of God in us, we can never reflect the light for the world to see. Huh? What the song say, what the corner, brighten the corner where you are. Isn't that right?
Yes, every one of us need a candlelight.
We need to brighten the corner where we are.
Okay, so now, so we understand that this 12 star, the crown, a crown of 12 stars represents the 12 tribes of Israel, not the 12 disciples. That's what we see in the dream of Joseph. The 12 stars. Got it? Alright. Now, here in the next verse, verse 2, and she being with child cried, tribulating in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now the Bible is saying that this woman is pregnant, and she's tribulating, wanting to give birth. Alright? And we know that the Bible continued later on to say, okay, let's go further now. No, it's not there in verse 3, but we just follow this for time being. This child in verse 2 is actually a man child. A man child means a male child. Later on when we read, we find it. It's a male child. For those who believe that this woman represents the church, it says that this woman gave birth to the first fruit. Okay, one place, one interpretation is that the church will give birth to the first fruit, the first crop of those that will be taken up in the rapture. Alright? Now, that is really foul. But the one that they're saying is that it is the church that give us the Messiah. But that's kind of strange. How could it be that the church give us the Messiah? It's the Messiah that give the church. So they say it is this woman represents the church and the male child is Jesus Christ. That doesn't make sense. We know that it is Israel as a nation of 12 tribes that brought forth the male child, and that male child is Jesus Christ. The Bible says male child means male child, huh? Isn't it? And the fact is that we can see the word, the law, the Son is the gospel, or the righteousness of God in Christ, that Israel was to receive the Messiah. You see. So it was that Israel therefore gave birth to the Messiah, and we know that found later on, of course, that all the mystery regarding what God wanted to do through Israel, the woman, are all hidden in the law. When the law was given, when the oracles were given, the prophets, and the law they were unto John, right? There were all mysteries hidden there inside. Now, as I said, it's in the law that God gave to Israel. Though it is the law, and law points to what? It points to death. Because whenever you see a door, it says, thou shalt not do this. And you know that you did. Yes, sir. Thou shalt not covet. How many of you covet? Let me see a hand, those who didn't come. So every one of us, one time or another, we covet. Dragon. Sure. The Ten Commandments, there's nobody that can say they can fulfill the commandment. You can say that you keep it. Right? You keep it, but you will break it sometime. You keep it. But nobody can say, I never break it. Not possible. Only Christ is the one who fulfilled every law that He Himself gave to mankind. Alright, so now in the book of Isaiah, we read in chapter 7, verse 14 of Isaiah. Here it is very clear that when you talk about this woman, we know this woman is Israel. For he says here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Come, for the Lord Himself shall show you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Okay, now you have identification. Let us go to verse 3 and look at this dragon. They say here in verse 3, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven." So this is what John saw in the vision. First he saw a beautiful woman, clothed with the sun, having the moon under her feet, crowned with 12 stars. And then John saw another wonder in heaven. And this time he says, "A great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head." Oh, when we read this, we wonder. Sometimes he says something here, in another place says something else. But let us read the next verse so we can go together. "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born." Now, interesting. The Bible says, a great red dragon. Now that's a very bad English. Because Bible, the trouble is that this Bible was translated in the days of King James. And in the days of King James, you have all this mythology of the dragon. Right? You don't know about this, all this Hollywood come up with all this dragon. Who is dragon? Arthur. Is it King? Huh? Merlin and his dragon. Now, all the Merlin story about the dragon. And always the dragon come out with wing, woof, woof, fire. And his tail is arrowheaded. Right? His tail is arrowheaded. You know that, don't you? Usually, as far as I know, it's always arrowheaded. Yeah, that signifies the tail of Satan. Satan has a tail of Satan. I don't know. Okay, now, that's interesting about the translation. The Bible used the word dragon, right? Now, there's no such animal. In the days of the Old Testament, there was no such thing as a dragon. It's a mistranslation of words. Because it was translated in the days of King James' time, so they look at the Greek word drakon. So drakon, 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 dragon. So they come up with all these things. Yeah, there is a star in the sky called Draconis. And that's what Draconis is. Even though it's a Greek word, it is not the dragon as the dragon. Got it? But the word here, dragon, dracon, is a Greek word that represents the serpent. So the Bible should read and translate, "And behold, a great red serpent." In the Hebrew translation is Sarap. Oh, the fiery serpent. Yeah, you know, it's always fiery. You know, when people sin against God, they get burned, right? Fiery sins will burn you. That's what he said. Red, red dragon, huh? You okay? So, the way of God is drawn, of course, I took this image for some stupidity anyway. Okay, they see how you have the wings and you have the tail that is... Okay, but it is not the kind of dragon as it should be. I have drawn it in the body into more like a serpent. But this serpent has 7 heads. 7 heads. And look at what the Bible here says. 7 crowns upon his heads. Okay? Am I reading it wrong? He says, having seven heads, ten horns, and seven crowns upon his head, right? The crown was found on each of the seven heads. There was no crown on the horns. Okay, go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, where we see the first one. Okay, go to the next picture. Go to the one that we showed, see earlier. Look at this one. Now this one here is where we get in Revelation 13. Now it says in Revelation 13, and now, verse 1. And the beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns, ten crowns. You see that? Got it? So now, what you see in chapter 12, and what you see in chapter 13, are two different visions, but showing the same spirit. Okay? What you see in this one here, in chapter 13, is now in the making. Okay? And the Bible said this one came out from the sea, it's on the land. But that one is in the heaven. Got it? Go back to chapter 12. Go back to the picture of chapter 12. Now the Bible said a woman in heaven. It says in heaven. Means it is spirit. It's something that is moving and working. But that one on the rise from the sea, what we see physically right now in Europe. Okay? Alright. Now this one have a crown on each of the head. The head, there are seven heads here. So there must be seven crowns. But there's no crowns on the ten horn. And the ten horn is only on one of the head, not scattered all over the seven heads. You understand? Got it. But in chapter 13, there is no crown on the head, but the crowns are found on the horns. And there are ten of them. And each horn have a crown. So what does this represent right here? Now, so what is this, who and what is this red dragon? As I said before, I'll tell you this, that this word comes from the Greek word dragon means serpent. So it should be translated as the red serpent, which represents, of course, who? The spirit of Satan. And the spirit of Satan is working through seven heads, seven empire, to try to destroy who? This woman Israel, especially to try to get the child, to destroy the child. Why? Because Satan knew all along that one day the promise of God, the prophecy of God given to who? Eve. Remember? And I'll put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Remember? And Satan knew that there's going to be a seed of the woman being born who will overcome him. And Satan is not stupid, you know that? Satan, every time when God speaks, he pays attention. Yes. When a prophet prophesies, Satan pays attention. And a lot of saints don't pay attention. When they hear a preacher preaching, they don't sometimes pay attention at all. They don't. Many of them, you're so tired, you're asleep, or you walk around, you're fidgeting. At all. Huh? We need to pay attention to listen, because we're going to, you know what? Let me say this. The Bible said this. God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Why is knowledge so important? Why do you think your mother sent you to school? Why? And why do you send your children to school? Because knowledge is important. And knowledge came from being educated. Do you realize it, don't you? Huh? And that's why Israel, they always send their son, not the girls, usually the son. They will send them to learn Bible study. They want God to go and learn the Torah. You see, that's why they are the synagogue. Young people are like Sunday school, so to speak. So it's important to understand and know what God is trying to want to show us. So that we will not be caught unaware about what's going on in the world today. Do you think the world people who doesn't know the truth of the Bible, do you know what's going on? Do you think they know what's going on in the Middle East? Do you? No. They probably say, that's between one religion and another religion. It's between the Muslim and the Jew and the this and that. They don't know what's going on. That's true, you know. The Bible even tells us about the king of the East being preparing themselves. The king of the East, look at China. Look at Myanmar, all rising up. Look at Cambodia. Look at Vietnam. These are the king of the East. They're coming up. Korea. Right? Look at Pakistan. Look at China. Look in India. Oh, if you don't know the Bible, you don't even know what's going on, of course. You see, God wants, you see, the Bible says we are children of light. Are we not children of light? If you are children of light, then before you will walk in the light, we know what's going on. But the people of the world, they are children of the night. They walk in their light, but they don't see the light of truth. And they are blind. So now, let me close with this. It says, there are seven heads. And verse 4, it says, He still drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and He cast them to the earth. Now we know that, of course, represents Satan. He still drew a third part of heaven. He drew stars of heaven. It means to say that one third of the heavenly hosts, the angel, one third of the angelic hosts in heaven, chose to follow Him. He is the leader of the pack. The other chose to follow Him. And they were cast down to this earth. But now the Bible said that He has seven heads and ten horns, and each head, has a crown. So, what are these seven heads? The seven heads are the seven empires. That throughout the regime, or throughout the generation of Israel, when God called Abraham, give him a son, Isaac, and then having done, Isaac came forth, Jacob, and Jacob became Israel, having 12 sons. Right? And God knew, the Satan knew that it is through this lineage that the Messiah will come. Because God has chosen Abraham and promised him a son, and that's Isaac. And also God promised Abraham about another son. Now Satan is watching. He has been watching all this very carefully what God is doing. And that's why he is impersonating, he's trying to mimic, and trying to destroy, and trying to blindside the people of Israel. Right. So how did Satan then, in those years, fight against Israel? To try to destroy the prophecy. Even before the prophecy ever came to pass in the day when Jesus was born. Right? So all the time this dragon was standing before the woman. Facing the woman, attacking the woman, and just waiting and devour the son. The child is coming out. So one final time. If he could take that. So now the seven heads, the first empire. The first empire, the head represents the empire. Now this whole beast system, alright, Satan has the beast, you know what Satan is? He's a spirit. So he used the nations of the world, or the empire, the kingdoms of the world. Okay, and every head represents a kingdom. Every kingdom has a head. You all agree with that? Every kingdom must have a king. Every empire must have someone who is leading. Is that right? Okay, so now, who's the first one? What kingdom was the first one that came against Israel? Well, none other but Egypt. The second one, what was the second one? Assyria from the north of Israel. They are sealed and packed. Right? And the top, beside Assyria, next to Assyria. Assyria conquered Egypt. Next, who conquered Assyria? And the largest own empire, Babylon. Right. After Babylon, who came? Remember the prophecy that Daniel spoke, taka taka. What, mini mini taka, how was it? You're following the balance. King of Babylon and your nation, your power will be divided. So what happened? Who came next? The Persian, the Medo-Persian. The bad. Lumbering one, once a heavier, remember? And after Babylon, after Persian came who? Alexander the Great came from Greece, the Grecian. And Alexander would have conquered. He came all the way to India. But because of the mountain there, the Himalaya, said, okay, that's enough. Retreat back. I wonder what happened if Alexander come across the Alps and take over India. You know, the Indian would probably be gone. Just imagine that, Alexander the Great. Young man! Young soldier! And yet he died in his prime too, anyway. After that, the Grecian came the Romans. Right. So how many you have? Only six. What is the seventh? The seventh is yet to come. Alright? You understand? The seventh is yet to come. Oh, but Prophet is already here, isn't it? Wasn't that Papal Rome? Yeah, Papal Rome was right. Right. Papal Rome, right. But Papal Rome was even fighting at that time totally against the Jew. His head was bruised, remember, unto death. Yes, it's Papal Rome. But not in the state that we see here in this prediction, in this depiction. But when the Papal Rome revived itself, and that's what we are looking at now in Europe. When the European market finally established itself, there will be 10 horns that will be controlled. But the one that controls this whole will be Vatican City. And that's why you find over in Revelation chapter 7, the woman who sits on the beast, the one that you see in the other picture. Do you understand that? So, the seventh head is papacy. And that's why over here, you have the one that has 10 horns. And these are the spirits, satanic spirit working throughout all those years when God called Abraham out of Mesopotamia. You understand? And so this is what we look at it. Now we come back next week and continue with it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for grace, for the word we receive, Father. As we learn thy word, Lord, remind us, Father, to be very watchful in the thing that we have learned, and knowing that Lord has the day draw closer, that Lord, we always should be in full and careful of watching and be in supplication, O Lord. Because, Father, we want to make the bride. We do not want to be found wanting, Lord, in the life that we live. After all, when we have received so great a blessing from you, the word that you have so graciously, O God, given to us. So how much more therefore, Father, that we should keep all this saying of yours, this revelation of yours, Father, and watch for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless us, Lord, and as the word also goes forth through the video or the audio, Father, we ask that you bless them to hear. We commit this day to your Father in Jesus' name.